Isn't it wonderful to be here today? It's just so wonderful. Mr. Barker was supposed to speak today, but as I told you in the announcement, he has bronchitis pretty bad, and he didn't. So he gave me a call yesterday and for communication and asked me if I could do the sermon. I started to turn off to Ron Walters, but I didn't know if he'd like that. So anyhow, be sure and keep Ron in your prayers because bronchitis can get kind of tough. So, well, I hope you've been looking forward to today because it's God's Sabbath and it's time for us to be with Him. I hope you've all been able to take care of this heat wave because it has really been hot. It's going to be hot again this week also. So, finally cooling down a little bit later. But you know, the hard times make us remember the good times. The hard times make us appreciate the good times. Because we look what we've come, done, what we will do, and what we've done before, and we grow from our experiences. I figure I must be a hard head, because you know, you'd think after 50-some years, you would pretty much be smarter than what I am, a much better person than what I am, but you know, I'm just like you, and you're just like me, and we all have to go to Passover every year. And thankfully, we have a loving God that allows us to do that, so we can be forgiven of our sins, because we all sin. How many of you are getting excited about the feast coming up? We've only got 7 more weeks till the Feast of Trumpets, 49 days. You know how you think about it in the spring holidays? Well, that's a long way off yet. Next thing you know, it's like when you get older, it seems like the weeks go by a lot faster than they did when you were young. Because the kids keep saying, well, we should hurry up and get here. And you're saying, it's just the other day we was here. Why are you? You know, but now time does fly when you're older. It seems like it. And I think you're more appreciative of the time you have. Because you see, we understand this physical life, it's a time that is going to come to an end as a physical being. And we only have so long. And hopefully, we're excited about God's feast because God has opened our eyes to know something that most of this world does not know. You know, you have a lot of churches, even some churches that keep Sabbath, but they don't keep God's holy days. How can you understand one thing which is so clear and not understand the other? It's kind of amazing in a sense, but it's easy to see because you got blinders. Until God opens our minds, we had blinders of what was going on. And then when He opened your mind, you go, whoa, I should be doing that. Right? I need to be doing that. Why aren't these people seeing that in the Bible? Why don't they, when they read the Bible, don't they see what I see now? But I read the Bible before and I didn't see it. It had to be pointed out to me. Once it was pointed out and explained, then I started looking into the Bible and find out for myself. I just took the word of what? Of what a man said. We're not to trust any man. No man. And I brought about Revelations 3:10-11. Let no man take your crown. God's is working with you. You individually. Not what your family does, not what your friends do, but what He does, He is asking you to be a part of. And you have to be responsible for that answer. And we are. And we who have understood and opened our minds, that's why we're here today. We're here today to praise God our Father, to be together as His family, as He wants. He has called us here in Dayton to be His family. And we represent this whole Dayton area. And I was looking at some statistics, and it looks like I'm going to give us a bonus of some people maybe. I said take 100 people. I figure we have probably between 70 and 80, counting all of you on the webcast, and we're sure glad you're with us. You know, But there's about 1.25 million or 1.5 million people in the broad circular that we live in. Do you realize how many people you're representing? Wow. If it's 1.5 million, you're representing about 15,000 people. If it's 1.25, you're representing 12,500 people. Out of all these people, out of 12,000 or 15,000, God chose you. Chose you. And He chose me. Count your blessings by far. Count your blessings that we are not in a world now that is going to pot. No common sense. And you see it. I remember Gerald McLaughlin used to say years ago, this has been back like in 2000, 1998, when things were changing and everything, and he'd say, you know, these people are so smart, their brains are falling out. Buddy, they have fallen out now. What he thought was bad back in 1998 or 1999, wherever it was, let me tell you, it's a whole lot worse now. And I think you can see it clearly. People cannot discuss anything. It's either you do it my way or you're wrong. And the government is getting more and more trying to get a tighter grip on each of us. We're growing closer and closer to the day that our living God will return. And the next feast day we're keeping is picturing Jesus Christ, our Savior. Feast of Trumpets. Can you imagine being there, hearing the trumpets blowing, and seeing Christ come down? We are working towards becoming what? One of those in the ground who are raised up to meet Him, or one of those who are changed in a twinkling of an eye? That is our choice. Either that, or you've fallen away. I have fallen away, and will not be in God's kingdom. We are here, we have been called to do a job. And that job is to become obedient sons of the living God. That He can use us to teach the world and everyone that will come out of it His way. Which is basically what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. Those who are left after all the destruction. We will have been taught by Christ and God during the Day of Atonement. That'll be a time we'll be drawing close to God. We fast that day. We draw closer to God. And God draws closer to us. And He teaches us and tells us what He has in His magnificent plan. And then we are reconciled with those who went through all this tragedy, all this disease, all these killings, massive. How do you think they're going to be when they come up? When they come before us, you think they're going to trust us? You hear about servicemen come back and they have all these problems because of what they have seen. Those who come up and survive what they've gone through has seemed worse than any man has ever seen. And we have to teach them and show them love. That's why we have to learn to love. That's why we have to learn to help and be like our God. He tells us that He is love. And He has proved it to you and I. We know that because we are here. We know that He has loved us and He has called you and I to be a part of His family. It's up to us. As Timothy said in 2 Timothy 2:4, let's go there. In 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. I got lost here somewhere. 2 Timothy 2:4. Okay, I got it. Okay, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, and he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You and I have been enlisted as soldiers of the living God. We have been given the opportunity to be a part of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's patience. We have been given an opportunity to fight the good fight. So what do we have to do? Well, we have to fight the enemy, which is Satan the devil. And when we have to fight the enemy, we can't do it on our own. We have to have God's Holy Spirit. We have to be taken in by God's way. Because it also says in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside as fables. But be watchful. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of evangelism, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. Be diligent to come to me quickly. We are to be diligent in seeking God our Father. We are to be diligent. And to do that, we have to have a good foundation. A good foundation. God gives you and I the good foundation. In your mind, what do you think the good foundation is? I'm sure we're all basically on the same thing. The good foundation is Jesus Christ, the rock, of course. But the good foundation is the Ten Commandments that the living God gave to us to live by. If we have that truly in our hearts and our minds, we're building a good foundation. A lot of times you will have people when you're out and they say, well, you're taking those old commandments. You know, we don't have it now. Christ died and it's done away with. Well, I have a card here, which is during your time, back in 1997, I don't know, Janice, you made these cards up or not about the commandments. I don't know, because you did a lot of stuff on this type of stuff for different days. But it has new commandments, New Testament commandments in the Old Testament. And this man over here was our pastor at the time when we got this. This is a bookmark. Mr. Schurter was our pastor. It's been a while back. But this is always the same. These commandments are always the same. On the front, it gives you the Ten Commandments that you see in Exodus. But on the back of it, it's the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. So we're going to read what's in the Old Testament, and we're going to read what's in the New Testament. This is our foundation, with Jesus Christ being the rock that we're on. He is the rock that holds us up. He's the rock that comes before God the Father on our behalf. So I'll go down through the Old Testament, and you know these are all in Exodus 20:1-18. So But we'll go through them. You say, oh, I've heard this so many times. We need to always hear it. We need to always have it in our heart and mind every day of our life that we work, everything we do. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is in Exodus. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, number two, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children, and upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number three. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four. The day we're keeping today. Remember the Sabbath day. To keep it in holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all the work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Hallowed it. Number five. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's one of the first ones we're promised. If you do what he says, you'll have a better life and a long life. Comparable. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Number 10, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. It's a donkey. That's the version that came out that God gave to the Israelites. Okay. Now we go to the New Testament. A lot of people say, well, it doesn't say it in the New Testament. You know, it doesn't say you have to obey those laws. A lot of people who don't read much and just listen to what somebody tells them, they believe it because guess what? Satan's there in the air saying, yeah, you don't have to do that now. See, you can do whatever you want. And they fall for it. But if you want happiness, it comes from obeying these laws. Turn me to, let's go to Matthew 4:10. This one here you probably know by heart, of course, because that's when Christ was tempted by Satan, right? Satan was promising to give Jesus everything that he could see in this world, this earth. He was trying to blind him with what? What he could see here? He knew what the rest was. Satan knew what the rest was, but he was trying to make it as a human being, trying to tempt a human being to sin. Because if he could get God to sin, or Christ to sin, he said, I can show God, I can tempt him and he'll go too because men are vain. You know, he's a man now. I can have a chance to change him. Well, what did Jesus answer to him? Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you serve. Him only you serve. New Testament telling you there's only one God. Have these down in your memory, or put them down so that whenever you get asked about them, you'll know them or tell them where to go to. Because, see, they can't argue with facts. Here it is. It's already said it before they ever knew anything about it. Number two. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. No, we're not to bow down to any type of image. 1 John 5:21, you'll turn there, please. 'Forgive me, I brought my old Bible I had in the back end. It's pretty hard for me to keep things together. It's falling apart. First John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Keep yourselves from idols. Very simple. Acts 17:29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Pretty clear. Pretty clear. To us, it's very clear. I guarantee you, to someone who hasn't got God's Spirit, they want to fight that because that's different than what they've been taught. But you can refer back to the Old Testament then and say, well, look what it says, and they're saying the exact same thing. This is, you know, the third commandment. It's what God says back in Exodus. He's saying the same thing. We're being told the same thing at this time. Now we'll go to the third one. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Number four, keeping God's Sabbath. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day of the week, wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. There remained therefore a keeping of a Sabbath to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth. Matthew 24:20. We have a few scriptures here on that one. This is just a reminder. I got to star by all these in my Bible because it's important that I'm able to turn to them and be able to contradict somebody who's trying to tell me that the Sabbath should be done away with, mm-hmm. or any other of God's laws. Because God's laws, as he said, he's the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which is in what Hebrews 13:8. God hasn't changed. The world tries to change, just as we're trying to say there's more than man and woman now. God only created two people, male and female. And yet the world is trying to say, oh no, we can do this or we can do that. It's not true. There's only two. Only two. Matthew 24:20. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath day. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Unless these days are shortened, no flesh will be saved, but for the elect's sake, elect's chosen ones, but you and I, we have been chosen by the living God to understand His truth. We answer to calling. Those days will be shortened for our sake or for others who are trusting in God, doing His will. Mark 2:27 backs this up. Just telling you whose day it is. Here Christ is talking to the Pharisees. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. It's God's time. He made it for man to come before him. He made it for us to stop doing the work and spend time with our God on the Sabbath day. And with each other. Because he wants the family to always be connected. Think about it. That's why we're here, so we're connected. We cover such a territory. And yet, we who are here, and you who are out there on the webcast, God has called you. He's called each and every one of us. And we have responded. And we represent him every day. Every second of every day. And then we have to ask ourselves, how am I doing? How am I doing? I will have a... If we're doing God's will, we are the light that He has called you and I to be, that He talks about in Matthew 5:14-16. We are the lights of this Dayton area and surrounding cities. What a responsibility we have. We are being chosen to be kings and priests. That's what we've been called to do, is to become kings and priests, building and growing in God's truth and way of life, and applying it to ourselves and what we do when we are out and about. What our true character, what our integrity is. We are to have God's integrity. We are developing God's integrity and God's character and His love, because He is love and that's His character. He is the God of love. And this is what His character is. Loving and caring and forgiving if we repent. And after everything that's gone on, and everything that people have done in the world, those who do not know God are going to have a chance That's how loving God is. Because he tells us in John 3:16, he not only died for us, he died for the whole world. Everyone in this world is his child. You and I are his child. And he loves us dearly. And he called us and we chose to obey. And we are his forever and ever if we do obey and finish the race that Timothy was talking about. He said he'd run the race. He'd finished it. He'd done his thing. He was ready. He was ready to die. He was ready to go. And the next thing he would see would be Jesus Christ and be part of God's family. In Hebrews 4:4, it also refers to it. And this is basically the same thing he said in Genesis. In Hebrews it says, For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, all his creation that he made at that point, and spent it with who? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, his family at that point. Two physical beings that he had, and he wanted to stop and for them to be able to enjoy his day also and being with him. What a blessing that you and I understand this. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're keeping God's holy Sabbath day. Because we know we need to be here. We need to be with each other. Because we are the family God has called. And we're to learn to love each and every one of us. Each and every person. And to know them. If you know your family, right? You know your family. We know when family hurts. Those who are not with us are out there because they can't be here. It's not because they don't want to be here. You know, I'd like to ask you out there, or maybe you could write us a note or a letter to Ron and just tell what it is that you miss about not being here on the Sabbath day. And maybe once in a while we could read one of your letters so that we can really have the understanding of how much you miss us and what it means that you're not able to be here with us. Because I guarantee you they would gladly change spots with you anytime if God would allow it. But you know what? They probably have so much love for you, they wouldn't want to take your spot. That's called love. That's called sacrifice. Our God sacrificed his son so you and I can be here today and so that our sins can be forgiven. And we still have an opportunity to grow and to be in his divine kingdom. What a loving Father we serve. Let's read verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. See, we ceased our work following God's example. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest someone fall according to the same example of disobedience. We do not want to be convinced, caressed, or tricked into not keeping God's Sabbath. And there again, it goes back to what it says in Revelation 3:10. Let no man take your crown. Satan will use any means he can. How have people fallen? They fall because they're going to lose their job. Takes a lot of trust in God to be willing to lose your job, your income. Many people have been put to that test. And many people have passed it. And sorry to say, many people have failed it. I remember one of my friends who, when they come out in 95, and they said they could work, you know, Sabbath. Wasn't that important then? This person got so mad. I couldn't believe it. I'd known him for years. He got so mad. I could have had this and this. I'd have had this amount of money because I could work every Saturday and I didn't work. Oh, woe is me. Look what you've done to me. That man had prospered so much. He had been protected so many different times on things that I knew about. So I know there was a lot more. But this became important. Money. Money. The other thing is, that takes a lot of people away, is vanity. Turn with me back to what the wise man said, Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon's, in verse 13, this really wraps up a whole lot. In verse 13 it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work unto judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is a man who gave such great advice. He was so humble when he was ordained the king. He said, who am I? Who am I to be over such a people? And yet, at the end, he was taken away by pride because he'd done so many things and he could do anything he wanted. And he tried to do anything he wanted. But at the end, he finally realized everything he had done and accomplished. And he had accomplished a lot. But he had a great He had God's people he was over. And he let them down and he let God down. Because he started spending money on 300 wives, 700 concubines, building homes for them, allowing them to bring what in? Their ways. He didn't make them get rid of their ways and their idols. And after a while, sorry to say, he became weak. But what he says is right. And in verse 8 he says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. All is vanity if we're not obeying God. Because we have our eyes on self and what we want, what we think we deserve. God has given you and I something this world doesn't have. We know that He gave His Son for us. We know that He loves us. And if we truly trust and obey Him, have no fear. Look what He did for Job. Job had everything. Job never took his eyes off God. He would not deny God. With everything that Satan was throwing at him. Think about that. You've read the story. Everything that Job did, he lost it all. Lost all of his children. Don't take us wrong with him, but he didn't lose his wife, and she wanted him to what? Curse and die. Told him just curse and die. Because she saw what he was going through. She saw the agony. I mean, he was four boils, the whole body. It wasn't five or six boils. It was the body full of boils. I remember when I was in high school, I had eight boils on my neck from playing football. It must have been dirty helmet or something, I don't know. But anyhow, I had a bunch of boils. And I remember walking around like this for about 6-8 weeks. Because I couldn't bend my head up because it hurt so bad. One day a kid came up, was dared, see, some, you know how it is, someone's smart like Vanity. She said, "Hey, go grab Dave by the neck, he'll appreciate it." I thought to God, if I could have done anything, I'd have killed him, but I couldn't. Oh, I was hurting so bad. And oh, he felt so bad when he realized that he'd been tricked into doing something that they wanted to do to cause me misery. Well, those eight boils turned into four carbuncles. That's where they go together. So things got worse. I walked around this for, I don't know, at least 6 weeks, probably 8 weeks, maybe more. But I just remember it hurt so bad. And I went to a hangout where we used to go. We used to call Charlie's. It was where all the kids went to. And it was not much of anything, but it's where we all went to. It's the only thing we had in our town. So that was our hangout. And there was a girl in there, and I had a little bit of a white thing coming out of my neck. I'll never forget it. And she said, "You want me to take that out?" I said, Oh, I don't know. She says, "Let me take it out for you." She got a pair of tweezers. Man, she pulled that thing out. You talk about hurt. That thing was about half the size of my pinky finger. And I mean, as it came out, it's relief, but it hurt. Okay? You ever had something feel so good, but it feels so bad? Well, that's what I recommended that to, is that that's what that was. And you know, she pulled all four of those out for me. Not a doctor, this girl. And instantly, I could raise my head back up. No pain. Oh, it was wonderful. But I want to tell you, when she's pulling them out, it was not wonderful. It was pain. And if you've ever had one, you'll know what I'm talking about. But you see, God is a loving and merciful God. He will take care of us. He promises He will. We are His children. And He is our God. He is our Father. I don't know how often the story. Sorry about that. But it came up. I had to think about the pain. So, anyhow. So basically, you know, when you see Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 and 14, after a man who had everything, who had been promoted to a king, and yet after all he had done, he realized that he had failed. He finally realized that he had failed. Because that's why he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all." This is all we need, is to obey God and keep His commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, I want to throw something at you that, see what you think about this. If you and I become kings and priests, if we are training, not doctrine, this is Dave Himmler saying, throwing this out, just think about this. If we are kings and priests, and we help others to understand God, do you think those that we have known before, worked with, been in school with, or whatever else, what if God says, you need to work with this group of people? And they knew you before you were in God's family, before you changed. I thought about this one time. I said, well, I have a lot of apologizing to do for things I did. But at the same time, I was thinking, this is just, would they see the big difference and say, hey, if he can change, or if she can change, anybody can change, you know? But you got to realize, it's just something to, when you start thinking what's going to happen afterwards. But we're going to be working with hundreds and millions of people, maybe. Hopefully millions on millions. And hopefully, a lot of them will finally see after what they've gone through and repent and be a part of our family. And every week on Sabbath, we get together just like we do now and worship our God. Number five. I guess I better get to move on. Number five. Honor the father and your mother. Matthew 19:19. In Matthew 19, it talks about more than that alone, but it does say in 19, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Number six, you shall not kill. Romans 13. Romans 13:9. This mentions every one of them. But the one we're going to point out now is number six, which is, thou shalt not murder. We can stay here for the others, but you can also go for number seven about committing adultery, Matthew 19:18. And here in Matthew 19:18 it says, talks about you shall not murder, which we just talked about. And it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It also said the same thing back there in thou shalt not steal, back to Romans 13:9. Tells you shall not kill. So we'll read them all because they all basically end up there except for number 10, 7, 8, and 9. 6, 7, 8, 9. says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in the same saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Also, Romans 7:7 says, thou shalt not covet. Now, about halfway through, it says, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. In verse 8, quite interesting. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment was to bring life, I found to bring death. But for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just and good. We either live by God's laws, or we sin and die. We live by God's law, we can have eternal life. That is our choice. Let's be sure we choose wisely every day, because Satan never gives up on trying to deceive you and me. He is that roaring lion, and he would love to tear us apart. And only with God's love and with God's help, God's protection, he can't do it. Let's be sure we study, we pray. Be sure that we look to our God and put on the whole armor of God. Because we need that armor. And the armor is God's law and God's ways. We do not want to get a crack in our armor. Because as it says in Ephesians 5:11, we need to keep this on because we do need the armor of God on us at all times. So as we come before God on this beautiful day, on this beautiful Sabbath day, rejoicing with Him, singing praise to Him, let's be sure that we look about and make sure that we're putting on God's armor. Because you and I have truly been blessed to know His way of life. I think it's supposed to be Galatians 5. Let me see. Yeah, okay. We put on the whole armor of God. You and I walk in His Spirit because we're obeying Him. When we have the armor completely engraved, guess what? We are truly protected. You and I need to make sure that as God loves you and me, we return that love every day by showing how much we love Him. And with that, He will continue to guide, protect, and strengthen us. Because we are His children. And He wants each of us to be with Him and Jesus Christ when Christ returns. Let's be sure that we know there's a crown waiting for us. Because He tells us there is a crown waiting for you and me. And that's in 2 Timothy 4:8. And we never want to forget that. For it says in 2 Timothy 4:8, finally there is laid up for me, and this is Timothy talking, after he said he'd ran a race, crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. God is looking forward to the return of His Son also, because His family will be with Him then, and we will pray that each of us are there also. Let's be sure we finish the race as Timothy said to do. We have to finish the race. Don't give up now. Many have. Let's make sure we're not one of them. Let's make sure that we come to the finish line and see Jesus Christ and God the Father.